1. The man in dark blue slacks and a forest green sports shirt waited impatiently in the line. The girl in the ticket booth was stupid, he thought. Never had been able to make change fast. He tilted his fat, bald head up at the inside of the lighted marquee, read, "Now playing, marked woman," looked without interest at the poster of a half-naked woman displaying a thigh, and looked behind him at the line to see if there was anyone in it he knew. There wasn't. But he couldn't have timed it better, he thought. Just in time for the 8 o'clock show. He shoved his dollar through the scallop in the glass. "Hello," he said to the blonde girl, smiling.
"Hello."
Her empty blue eyes brightened.
"How are you tonight?"
It wasn't a question she expected to be answered. He didn't. He went into the slightly smelly theater and heard the nervous martial bugle call of the newsreel that was just beginning. He passed the candy and popcorn counter, and when he reached the other side of the theater, he turned, gracefully despite his bulk, and casually looked around him. There was Tony Rico. He quickened his step and met Tony as they turned into the center aisle.
"Hello there, Tony," he said, in the same rather patronizing tone he used when Tony was behind the counter of his father's delicatessen.
"Hi, Mr. Kimmel," Tony smiled. "By yourself tonight?"
"My wife's just left for Albany."
He waved a hand and began to sidle into a row of seats. Tony went on down the aisle, closer to the screen. The man squeezed his knees against the backs of the seats, murmuring, "Excuse me" and "Thank you" as he progressed, because everyone had to stand up or half stand up to let him by. He kept on going and came out in the aisle along the wall. He walked down to the door with the red exit sign over it, pushed through two metal doors, and came out into the hot, sultry air of the sidewalk. He turned in the opposite direction of the marquee and almost immediately crossed the street. He walked around a corner and got into his black two-door Chevrolet. He drove to within a block of the Cardinal Line's bus terminal and waited in his car for about 10 minutes until a bus marked Newark, New York, Albany pulled out of the terminus, and then he followed it. He followed the bus through the tedious traffic of the Holland Tunnel entrance, and then in Manhattan turned northward. He kept about 2 cars between himself and the bus, even after they had left the city and the traffic was thin and fast. The first rest stop, he thought, should be around Tarrytown, perhaps before. If that place wasn't propitious, he would have to go on. And if there wasn't a second rest stop, well, right in Albany, in some alley. His broad, pudgy lips pursed as he concentrated on his driving, but his tawny eyes, stretched wide behind the thick glasses, did not change. The bus stopped in front of a cluster of lighted food stores and a cafe, and he drove past and stopped his car, pulling in so close to the edge of the road that the twigs of a tree scraped the side. He got out quickly and ran, slowing to a walk only when he reached the lighted area where the bus had stopped. People were still getting off the bus. He saw her, descending, caught the clumsy sidewise jerks of her stocky body as she took the few steps. He was beside her before she had walked 6 feet.
"You,"
she said. Her gray and black hair was disheveled. Her stupid brown eyes stared up at him with an animal surprise, an animal fear. It seemed to him that they were still in the kitchen in Newark, arguing.
"I still have a few things to say, Helen. Let's go down here."
He took her arm, turning her towards the road. She pulled away.
"They're only stopping 10 minutes here. Say what you have to say now."
"They're stopping 20 minutes. I've already inquired," he said in a bored tone.
"Let's go down here where we won't be overheard."
She came with him. He had already noticed that the trees and the underbrush were thick and high on the right, the side near his car. Just a few yards down the road would be.
"If you think I'll change my mind about Edward," she began tremulously and proudly, "I won't. I never will."